Hallowed night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly host sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, luster light, radiant beam from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, the bird, Jesus, Lord, the bird.
Amen.
We have another special this morning, Graham.
Thank you.
speak a little on that night when Christ was born. Let us turn this morning to the fifth chapter of Micah. Don't hear much about this prophet, but he did have much to say. Micah, the fifth chapter. We shall begin with verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. This is a prophecy of Jesus' birth, as Matthew will confirm here in just a little bit. Jesus born in Bethlehem, and that's what I want to speak on today, is the fact that he was born in Bethlehem rather than Jerusalem. I want to see three major things about Jesus' birth, first of all. That is the manner of his birth. That is specified in Scripture. Isaiah 7:14 tells us plainly, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Tremendous sign that Jesus had indeed come into the world in fulfillment of that prophecy. Then we find that the place of his birth is specified, as we find here, "Thou Bethlehem, he shall come forth unto me." And then the time of Jesus' birth. That is not specified in Scripture. There are some who try to correlate this prophecy here in Matthew with Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks in the 9th chapter of that book. Daniel 9 is very plain that after 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. The vision of the 70 weeks that Daniel had was a reference, this particular part of it, a reference to the death of Jesus, not his birth. I also want to notice that the 70 weeks are in direct reference to Jerusalem, called there in Daniel 9, thy holy city, not in reference to Bethlehem. It is important for us to understand that the birth of Jesus is not specified. Again, in relation to the 70 weeks, and that would be 70 sevens, those weeks representative of years and not days, when Jesus came into the world, Luke informs us after the fact that he began his earthly ministry when he began to be about 30 years old. After that, we find most scholars agree that he was crucified about 3 or 3.5 years later. That means that according to the counting of the 70 years there in Daniel, Jesus would have been born somewhere during the 64th week, not in the 69th week, as is prophesied of his death. The point we make here is that Scripture plainly declares that Jesus is coming again, and he will come as a thief. The fact of the matter is that he came as a thief the first time also. There were those who were looking for him, but none had any specific idea when he would appear. I think about Simeon, who indeed was looking for the coming of the Lord, but he did not decide that he was coming on the day he did into the temple because Simeon understood the scripture. Simeon had rather been told that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. And so he recognized him when he came in as that small baby, but scripture did not pinpoint when Jesus was to be born. Anna is exactly the same way, that she didn't know either, but she was a devout woman, but coming in at that moment, she did not come because she had searched out the scripture and knew that would be the day. She came in and she likewise knew that Jesus was there. But as I say, scripture does not pinpoint the time of Jesus' birth. He came unawares. Let us go to the second chapter of Matthew, where he indeed confirms that the scripture here in Micah is a reference to the birth of Jesus. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so we find a record of the wise men who have come. And of course, being the type of men that they were, and being that they were seeking royalty, the king of the Jews, and it would be obvious they get that close, surely it must be Jerusalem. And that is exactly where they came. And so we find out that they are looking for the king in a logical manner, so to speak. But again, let us follow this same line that none knew when Jesus was going to be born. We find here in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. There were none that were looking for a king at this particular time. The Messiah had been prophesied over and over again, as we have seen from Isaiah and other places. But again, the time of that had not been conveyed unto them, and these were very much perplexed about the fact that the wise men have announced that he is already here. Where is he that is born the king of the Jews? Well, they began to search the only place that would know that. And remember, they are looking for the place. The time is not included here. It is the place. These wise men insist that he is already here. They just want to know where. And so in verse 4, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them, where Christ should be born, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This is again that direct quotation from Micah 5:2. And so scripture did plainly prophesy the place where Jesus would be born, but the time here, once again, is not included. We have already seen some of that. I want to notice that even Satan himself did not know when Jesus was going to be born. We remember he was certainly there in the Garden of Eden, when the decree was given that the seed of the woman would crush his head. I am of the persuasion that that's the reason that so many women of faith were barren. So often there in the Old Testament, God overruled, and God, of course, preserved that line from the woman right down through Abraham and David until Christ was born. But Satan took every opportunity he could in order to thwart God's purposes, in order to change that decree. He was not able to do it, and we find here that he was absolutely caught unawares. Let us notice verse 7. Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently when or what time that the star appeared. These wise men began their journey when the star appeared in the as they were coming from the east, and they followed that star. Go down to verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, in all the coasts thereof, notice this, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. The fact is, Satan could have missed it by as much as 2 years. Jesus could have been at least 2 years old by the time the wise men came unto him, or unto the was born in Bethlehem. And so we find here that after 2 years, Herod, Satan, is going to take action and try to defy God's word, try to keep this prophecy of Genesis 3:15 from coming to pass. And of course, we know that he could not do that. It is so important for us to understand, once again, that there were those like Simeon who did know that the Messiah was coming. Thought of Mary, but she was not looking for any time that such a thing should happen. She was shocked to find that she would be the vessel through whom this prophecy would come, but she had no idea of the time it was happening. Likewise, we think of Joseph. He was a devout man, but you'll note if you back up just a little bit here in verse 20 of chapter 1, while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. They all understood that. They knew that message from Isaiah. But again, Joseph had no idea of the time. He was going a different direction until the Lord opened it up to him in a dream. And so Jesus' first advent was absolutely hidden from those of that time. And likewise, they could only do what we do today. We too know that Jesus is coming again. Like Simeon, we are looking for him. Now, I don't know anyone like Simeon whom God has said, now, you will be here when Jesus appears. That happened to Simeon. But for us, we just like Simeon know the times and the seasons. I'm sure he was acquainted with the 70-year prophecy that Daniel had given. But again, he did not ascertain Jesus was coming by those words. The only thing he knew is that the Holy Ghost had told him he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so no scripture gives that definite time. I want to go back to the fifth chapter of Micah once again. Let's go to the end of the fourth chapter. It is important for us to put all of these things into context and into perspective. The fourth chapter of this book. Let's begin with verse 11. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. This is a reference to the nations, even at that time, who were very much against Zion or Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Israel, has been resisted from the very time that God brought them into existence. They have been a hated and a despised people. But I want to notice that these words reach down even to the end time. They have a local fulfillment, as we've seen with much of prophecy in the scripture. They did apply, these nations applied to Assyria and indeed unto Babylon at that time. But we are looking in these verses down to the end time. Notice verse 12. They know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. This is speaking of God's end time judgment of all those nations that have been against his people. These will be sheaves of judgment. Not only that, but in verse 13, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. This is a message directly to Israel, and it tells how God is going to use this nation in order to punish all those nations that have been against him. Says, I will make thy hoofs brass. Thou shalt beat them in pieces many people. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. This will not be fulfilled until after the tribulation is over and Israel is restored as head of the nations. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. This is again a reference to the daughter of Zion, a reference to Jerusalem at this point. He hath laid siege against us. The he here is undoubtedly God himself. We read that term over and over, that God is going to take responsibility. He is going to take action against Israel in order to bring them to repentance, in order to bring them unto himself. And so this language is mentioned a number of times in the prophets. He shall lay siege against us, then they shall smite the judge. I think this is a reference to those nations that will smite the judge of Israel, even Christ. Smite him on the cheek. Then we come to verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is going to be ruler in Israel. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem rather than Jerusalem? We find the answers here in this verse. First of all, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. And it is rather fitting that the house of bread should bring forth the true bread from heaven. Ephratah has a double meaning. It means ash heap. And then it means fruitfulness. Jesus fulfilled both of those meanings. He went to the ash heap when he was hanged on the cross of Calvary. God put him there and he judged him as sin for the whole world. As we found out from Isaiah 7, his name shall be called Emmanuel. We read in the New Testament there in Matthew, he shall save his people from their sins. That's how he did it, we know now. He had to go to the cross and pay the price that was due them and all humanity in order to save us. And so he was laid on the ash heap. But that gave way to fruitfulness. That is the fruitfulness of redemption. And so Ephrathah is very much important in this matter. And then, of course, Judah, the word means praise, and it signifies that one day all praise will indeed be given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, but not yet. Notice the rest of this verse. Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Being born in Bethlehem really set the tone for the rest of Jesus' life and his ministry. Bethlehem demonstrates the lowly birth of Jesus. He was not born in the palace in Jerusalem. I wondered if I meditated on this. When Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. Would there have been any room for them in maybe multiple inns in Jerusalem? We don't know. We do know that this sets the tone for Jesus coming into the world. He was rejected before he was even born. While Mary was still carrying him, there was no room for them in the inn. Then they were instructed to go to a stable. And that is exactly where they went. He was not born. He did not wake up in some great palace of glory and beauty. He woke up in the midst of livestock. Indeed, he was in a manger. A manger is used to feed the cattle, the horses, the donkeys, and sheep that would come in there. Well, it's rather fitting that Jesus is the one who was in that manger. He will now be the one who is feeding all his people. He is the true bread from heaven, feeding all of those. And then the shepherds. Quite interesting. It was the shepherds that were known around Bethlehem, who worked around Bethlehem. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will find that shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. And Egypt, of course, representative of the entire world. But wonder of wonders, it was the lowly shepherds that heard the first announcement. They got to hear that heavenly choir when others did not. Not only that, but they didn't ignore it as some might have. Let us go into this Bethlehem. Let us find this child that is born. The lowly shepherds were those first. And as far as I know, no other came to the stable. I know the Christmas story in our day presents the wise men to acknowledge and recognize them, but as we've already seen, the wise men probably did not see Jesus until at least 2 years after he was born. God used them, and God intended they be a part of this story, but the wise men did not come to the stable. Nor, as far as I can find out, did it anyone else. But let us understand this. Those lowly shepherds were the first heralds of Jesus. They were the first to preach that he is here. Now, how many listened to them, I don't know. But they were the very first to herald Jesus. This is why I say that Bethlehem set the tone for Jesus growing up and indeed on into his earthly ministry. He said in another place, I am meek and lowly in heart. He had that from the very time he was born, and nothing changed until he got to the cross. Nothing reversed it. He was still meek and lowly, and he could say unto those, come unto me. And the reason is, I am just like you are. He was not the elite. He indeed was like unto the shepherds.
He went back to Nazareth, which is in the same pattern as Bethlehem. There we read, not only was his father a carpenter, but he became a carpenter. And he surrounded himself also with other laborers, such as the fishermen, like Peter. And so we find out that he began this trek from Bethlehem in this very lowly manner. But he will not continue in that forever. Verse 3. Therefore will he give them up, talking about Israel, until the time that she which travaileth has brought forth. This could be a reference to the 144,000. It could also be a reference, undoubtedly is a reference to both of them. A reference to the fact that a nation shall be born in one day. But what has to happen before that? They summarily rejected Jesus when he came the first time. They summarily rejected him after the resurrection. And so now then we read here, therefore will he give them up until the time that she travails. God will set Israel aside as he has done during this age. And that will prevail until the tribulation, when Israel is forced to bow on their knee before him and accept him as their Messiah. And we are looking forward to that day. So here in verse 3, we are once again caught down to the end time. Chapter 4 closed with it. Sandwiched in between that is the birth and indeed the glorious pattern of redemption that we see in these verses. Now at the end of the age, once again, he will give them up until the time that she travails has brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand. Again, this is that same one that was born in Bethlehem. He shall stand and feed. He is the true bread from heaven, from Bethlehem, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty, in the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And so it is that everything we have seen in regard to Bethlehem will be shown forth in this matter. He will indeed come forth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be the king that the wise men were looking for, but this time it will not be in a lowly stable in Bethlehem or even in the house in Bethlehem to which they came. Jesus will come forth and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we read in verse 2, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. God always had this in mind. And one day, Jesus is, as we read here in verse 4, he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. All because he was born in Bethlehem.